Weekday mornings at 6:30 and again at 11:45 on 990 Ave Maria Radio.
This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Dr. Ray Guarendi, the two accolades I am most proud of, one, of course, 9 years running, the Humility Award, dominating, crushing the competition with blatant humility, and two, I have just been told, I am the only host in all of Catholic media, not just radio now, media too, that includes television, that can take days off your purgatory, because if you listen closely, I can be so irritating to listen to. Program here is The Doctor Is In. The number to get onto the program is 877-573-7825, 877-57-EQUAL. If we were a sticker system, you would all get stickers because of that number, 877-57-EQUAL. I'm a psychologist, clinical type. That means training is in therapy and assessment, diagnosis. Now, here on the program, we don't do that stuff, but we can talk. Give ideas, thoughts, a little general education. These can be particular questions, stuff of your life, something you've struggled with, wrestled with, pondered, thinking, yeah, if I got a nugget, it'll start a bunch of ripples, and maybe those ripples will make things change for the significantly better over and above the 4 minutes worth of nudging, hand-holding, scolding that we got from Roy Gannuti, host of the program. Or you can ask generic questions. A lot of people call in and ask questions essentially about the intersection of psychology and religion, and intellectual questions, emotional questions. They don't understand a particular diagnosis. They wonder how the church looks at, for example, something like hypnosis. Does acupuncture work? Dr. Ray, how many therapies are there? You want it to the nearest 100? 877-573-7825. I was at the dinner table last night. I was reading the sports page. Once again, this sports guy married this supermodel. She's a very, very, very pretty young lady. And this sports guy, he had a reputation for being a head case, causing all kinds of problems on the court, off the court, just real trouble. And I said to my wife, why is it that some of the biggest jerks marry the prettiest women? And my wife looked at me and said, why, thank you, Ray. It's one of the nicest things you've said to me. All right, all right, all right. I had a call, actually a text, from a professional speech pathologist, Cindy. A little girl, about 5 years old. Got unsettled. Now, we have to be very careful because any time we see somebody in discomfort or being unsettled about a situation, being in a situation, being asked to do something that they don't find 100% pleasant, we drift. We drift towards labeling it anxiety. That sounds pretty psychological, doesn't it? And it also, what it does is it paralyzes the parent or the person in authority. Because after all, if this person is anxious, this is not a behavior problem. This is psychological in nature. The problem with that, especially with little kids, there's a lot of stuff little kids don't want to do. They don't want to take medicine. They don't want to go to bed. They don't want to go see grandma. There's a lot of they don't want to go to preschool. They don't like it. They start crying in the hallway. This kind of stuff happens all the time. Now, is it anxiety or is it resistance? My experience has been that it may start out as some kind of discomfort, some kind of distress, but it evolves over time into resistance. Why is this? I'm not saying it's 100% resistance. I'm saying it's a mix of the two. Why is this? Well, I tend to misbehave along temperamental lines. If I'm an aggressive, in-your-face, challenging kind of kid, then you tell me to do something I don't want to do, or you try to get me to do something I don't want to do, I'm going to throw a fit. Or I'm going to argue, or I'm going to scream, or I'm going to yell, or I'm going to get nasty, I'm going to throw something. Why? That's my style. I'm an aggressive kind of kid. On the other hand, if I'm not an aggressive kid, if I'm kind of low profile, sort of shy maybe, and you ask me to do something I don't want to do, I'm not about to argue with you or throw a fit. I'll just drag my feet. I'll pretend I didn't hear ya. I'll just say I forgot. The end result's the same. I still didn't do it. But nevertheless, I resisted. So what tends to happen is in so many of these situations, the child has some level of discomfort over taking on the situation. All right. Then they start to resist. If I'm going to be uncomfortable about something, why do I want to do it? I'm not going to do it. You're asking me to go to bed. I don't want to go to bed. It's dark in there. It's too dark for me. I know you got 650-watt floodlights. Still not bright enough. Besides, the bed's off the ground. There's alligators under there. I don't want to go to bed. Now, parents struggle with this because unless it is apparent that we are dealing with 100% defiance, we get nervous. We have our own sort of anxiety. We get anxious about them being anxious because, well, you know how much of this is, oh, I don't know how much of this is true, psychological discomfort and distress and what happens if I push on it and I make it happen. Adults will come into my office because they're struggling with anxiety. Some situation occurred. Oftentimes, it's a panic attack. Something happened in their body that just this massive surge of adrenaline. It was a frightening experience. They didn't know what's going on. Started breathing shallow. Heart was pounding, throbbing. They just figured, I'm losing my mind. What is am I unraveling? Having a heart attack? Half of them go to the emergency room and get a clean bill of health. But of those, some of them say they just didn't find it. There's something wrong. They just didn't find it. There was an old term called hypochondriasis. Hypochondriasis essentially oftentimes paired with anxiety. In other words, this hypervigilance to the state of my body. Something's wrong in here, and that's part of the reason why I'm so anxious. All right. They come in the office. They got a panic attack. They didn't know how to interpret it. That was part of their fear. They didn't know what to make of this panic attack. I educate them. We discuss it. The vast majority of the time, I put it in context that they're not losing their mind. They're not having a heart attack. They're not going crazy. This is not going to destroy their psychological equilibrium. Got it. So, they go out where they first had the panic attack, like a restaurant. Turning left, interstate, crowd, somewhere, mall, and they just go right into that situation because they're calm now. No, they don't. Well, why? They know what it is because they don't want the feeling. The feeling in their mind was so unpleasant, so ugly, so unendurable that I'm not going to go through that again. The problem is, if they did go through it again, they'd rewire their body. They would teach their body that there is no danger in a mall, for the most part. There is no danger in turning left, for the most part. There's no danger in a restaurant, for the most part. However, they don't want to do that. Why? What if the feeling's too unpleasant? Too unpleasant. I don't want that feeling again. Ever again. If they made themselves go through that, they would find initially, yes, they would have the surge of anxiety, and then it would dissipate, and over time, as they repeatedly exposed themselves to the situation, the anxiety would decline. A little kid does generally not have the super potent anxiety reaction that adults have. They just don't. All little kids know is, I don't like this. I'm scared of it. It's unpleasant. So, therefore, I'm not going to do it. And we parents say, well, I don't know. How do you sort out? How do you sort it out? Now, I'm a highly trained psychologist. I can give you my answer to how you sort it out. If a parent says to me, what part of this is anxiety and what part of this is just stubborn resistance? I say to them, I really don't know. That'll be $80. And the truth is, you really don't know. And in many respects, it's not relevant. Like my adult, if my adult forced themselves, my adult is not being stubborn. My adult is not being defiant. They just don't want to be in the situation because it's uncomfortable. But if they would begin the process of shedding some of this anxiety. A kid can be made to be in the situation he's uncomfortable with, and almost always they are much quicker at getting over whatever it is that is causing their discomfort, their distress. They find out it's not a problem. In this particular case, this young 5-year-old girl didn't want to do and practice her speech. Didn't like it. Now, there is, unless my speech pathologist friend is one ugly, nasty woman, there's no danger in practicing your speech. None. Unless you don't get a sticker. I mean, if you don't get a sticker, okay, that could be a problem. Given that, the little girl would probably find in short order this is something she has to do, and indeed, whatever it was that was mixing in with her resistance will dissipate. So, bottom line to all this? Yeah, if you want to call it anxiety, go ahead. I would generally, in most cases, call it discomfort. Some level of distress that a kid just doesn't want to go to preschool. He doesn't want to go to bed. He doesn't want to go outside. He gets scared and doesn't want to go into any place with windows when there's a thunderstorm. He doesn't want to pet that little dog that weighs 12 pounds, has no teeth, is totally less threatening than a cat. He doesn't want to. Why? He feels uncomfortable. But if he would, with the guidance of a caring adult, he'd get over it. 877-573-7825. 877-57 equal. Call Andrew.
Anybody who goes to a psychoanalyst ought to have his head examined. So let's examine ours.
The doctor is in.
The doctor is in.
The doctor will be with you in just a moment.
We are truly blessed with living in a free country, experiencing great spring weather, and having great friends. Hi, I'm Dan Hall from Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, and we're also blessed to offer great low lease payments on all Ram, Jeep, and Dodge products during our Drive and Discover event going on now. For example, you can drive a new Ram pickup, Dodge Journey, or Durango for as low as $229 per month, or a Jeep Patriot, Compass, or the all-new Jeep Renegade for only $199 per month. Only at Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, or visit us online at PinckneyChrysler.com.
When a kid loses a tooth, it's exciting. But an adult has some serious decisions that needs a caring, faithful, and family-oriented dentist like Dr. Maddie with Advanced Dentistry Center. Here's what Dr. Maddie says to those that are deciding between bridges and implants.
While bridges only last 8 to 10 years and damage adjacent teeth, implants last up to 30 years and help prevent bone loss. Plus, they look more natural.
Extremely natural, with Dr. Maddie, who practices the art of dentistry at Advanced Dentistry Center. Conveniently located at 13 Mile and Telegraph, make the decision to call 248-594-9592 or click AdvancedDentistryCenter.com. Mention Ave Maria and receive 10% off dental implants. Be comfortable knowing that Advanced Dentistry Center's goal is to provide you with the most up-to-date treatments to help you look and feel your best. That's 248-594-9592.
The Doctor Is In is underwritten in part by Charity Mobile. Communication is critical, and in today's world, your cellular service is your lifeline to family and friends. Ave Maria Radio and Charity Mobile are partners in communicating the most important message of all, the good news of Jesus Christ. Charity Mobile is a provider of cellular LTE phones and service and has been a proud supporter of Ave Maria Radio and other pro-life causes for more than 10 years. More information at charitymobile.com. Charity Mobile. Charity begins at phone.
Oh, yeah. Good choice there, Andrew. A little smoke and ham and B3. Dr. Ray Grandy, thanks for joining me. I would very much like you to join me, if you can. Coming up here within about 2 weeks, it will be our final taping in the Cleveland area. We will be moving studios after that. Season 7 of Living Right with Dr. Ray. 9 shows, July 7th, 8th, and 9th. Classic video productions in Cleveland, Broadview Heights, right off of 77. Very accessible. We have live audiences for all the shows. If you'd like 1 show, 2 shows, 3 shows, you can stay for whatever you wish. We have guests, people you might be real interested in seeing. We've got Elvis Gerback. We've got Guy Gruders. Guy was a prisoner of war for several years. Powerful story. Elvis Gerback, of course, pro quarterback, now retired. Jesse Romero. A lot of people like Jess. He will make it so that I am not the toughest guy there. Who else? We got Stan Williams. He's a movie producer. Wrote a book, Growing Up Christian. Just a lot of neat stuff. The audience is an integral part of the program. You make the show. We would very much like you to be there. These last 9 tapings, you know, obviously, you don't have to come for 9, you come for 1. These last 9 tapings are Season 7. After that, we're heading out. We're heading out to Omaha. We're going to shoot from there. And who knows where we'll be starting Season 8, God willing. So, fill them up. Head them out. We feed you. And it's not limited to adults. You can bring kids. Absolutely. Bring you big homeschooling families, you know, you show up with 9 kids. You pack 1/2 of the side of the audience. All right. Cecilia, you're breaking my heart. You're shaking my confidence daily. You were on the line yesterday, and it's true to our word. You are first up. Hi, Cecilia.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine here. Is this your first child?
No, this is my second child. I have 3. I have a 3-month-old. And before it wasn't that big of a problem. I only had 2. But now it's very overwhelming because I have 3 kids and my middle child, he's always crying. And he was like that from the moment I remember. He was born and he was always crying. And the first year, I was always at the doctor's because I thought, there's something wrong.
What's wrong with this kid? Yeah, what's wrong with this kid?
Yes, he's got an ear infection. He's sick. He's got something. But he is my most healthiest child. He just cries a lot for anything and everything. He wakes
up
crying,
Cecilia,
and he goes to bed crying.
You ever think about this? Now, I'm going to give you a little psychological interpretation. He just may not want you as a mom. Did you think about that? But he's thinking to himself, what am I doing here? Am I stuck with this woman for another 16 years? And the thought of that alone is distressing this poor little kid.
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. It's probably your husband, right? It's probably him. You know.
It's most likely him.
Well, you know what some people would tell you? They would say, what do you expect, Cecilia? You know, you got a little kid. He's not the baby anymore. Somebody displaced him. First of all, I don't buy that. But if it is the case, you're going to have to probably give your little kid away. What, 3 months old?
Oh, goodness.
You probably have somebody that would want a 3-month old. All right, let's get serious. You got 2 factors here. If we have a kid who's physically healthy, you've checked it 722 times. You got a kid probably by temperament that's just emotional, reactive, Do you notice a pattern to his crying? Is it typically when he's tired, typically when he's frustrated, typically when he can't get your attention? What is it? Is there some rhythm to his crying?
Well, he really just cries when he wakes up and then cries during the day. And then whenever he wants attention, he cries. If he wants something, he cries for it. Then he wakes up and he's crying again after a nap. And
maybe
it's time to put him to bed.
Yeah, maybe the common thread is he cries when things are not going as he wishes.
Right. You know, he'll cry because he wants the blue lolly pop,
got
the pink one. And
I would do this. This is the second part of the equation to keep your sanity. I would say from now on, when he cries like this, I'd give him a few seconds to calm himself down. And then I'd say, well, you're going to go sit on the steps until you're done crying and I can tell you you can get up. That's what I would do. Now, one might say, but Dr. Ray, that's just who he is. He just cries. Unfortunately,
right, because I don't know how much I can change. I'm thinking, well, maybe.
First of all, well, okay, so he's going to be 17 years old crying 27 times a day? I doubt it. I think what's happening is this just his nature. He's 2 years old. He probably won't be quite like this when he's four. But the key for you is it's driving you nuts. So what you want to do, because you got three little ones under three, you simply say, well, I'm not going to sit here and listen to him follow me around and cry. That's not going to happen. Okay, son, you start sobbing over something you don't get, which is kind of a mild fit is what it is about 80% of the time, it sounds like. Okay, no problem. Go sit on the steps. I will tell you when you can get up, when you're done crying. Unless I miss my guess, you will cut this crying minimally in half, probably a lot more, because he's going to realize this just isn't a way to do things. You're essentially training him. Get yourself under control, son. Let's not go on and on with the crying here because you didn't get your blue cup. All right?
Okay.
Trust me on this one, Cecilia. Don't future project. Don't say to yourself, but what if this is who he is and I'm stuck with this kid that's going to cry all day long until he goes to college? Not likely. Not likely. Okay. All right. Thanks, sweetheart. Thanks for the call.
Thank you so much.
All right. We got an anonymous call from Iowa. Her daughter had some problems with anxiety since I imagine I stirred up something here in our anonymous caller from Iowa whose daughter has anxiety. You there, caller?
Yes, I am.
How old is your daughter?
19.
She started a night job that she quit. Did she quit because she didn't like the job?
Well, that's what I'm trying to get at. Is when this last semester at college, she called me and she was upset because she was stressed out. She was having anxiety issues and stuff. And I said, okay, well, we'll since it's, you know, around finals, we'll try to get you in somewhere when you come home for the summer. And she was fine with that. She got home and she felt better, and so we kind of put that on hold. So she started a night job at a factory, and she had a week of orientation during the day, and then she worked a week at night from 11 to 7. And the second week, she started having anxiety, panic attacks, and she would cry before work, and she just couldn't go. And she was saying she was afraid of herself, of her thoughts when she was up, you know, all night and all this and that. And we started seeing a therapist, and she's been doing better. She's not on any medication. She has quit that job and has another job, and actually has an interview for another job. So she's looking at two part-time jobs for the summer, which is fine with me, but I'm just wondering if there is something actual about a night shift that can exacerbate anxiety.
There wasn't a night shift when she was in college.
Well, no. But, I mean, it was good money. She says she hasn't ever quit anything, which upsets her. But, I mean, I don't know if I'm worried that something may have happened on a shift and she just doesn't want to tell me.
If she's not going to tell you, you can't do anything about that. And I'm going to be very cautious here because she's seeing a therapist. If she doesn't want to tell you, you can't do anything about that. I would imagine she would tell her therapist. She'd probably be more comfortable doing that because she's not worried about shaking up the therapist like she would be about shaking up her mom. However, what you're describing sounds like this young lady reacts to stressful situations that may not be all that stressful, but throw her for a loop. And because of that, she reacts, her body reacts, and she goes into this anxious state. Hopefully the therapist will help her work through this to realize that there are situations in life that you're going to be uncomfortable with, that you're not going to like.
Right.
And you curl up and you start resisting them, what tends to happen is you resist more and more of them.
Today's preview of this Sunday's Gospel is brought to you by the Truth and Life Audio Bible, available on the Ave Maria Radio app and at AveMariaRadio.net/Bible.
A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So, have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, utter in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim upon the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground without your Father's will. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. So, everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven.
Get your copy today right on your smartphone in the Ave Maria Radio app or by going to AveMariaRadio.net/Bible.
It just occurred to me. I talked about inviting you to the tapings of the TV show in Cleveland. I gave you no information on how to register. Two places. Website, drray.com, D-R-R-A-Y.com, or my Facebook page. I think they have that there. And the contact person is there to reserve your spot or many spots. Or if you want to bring a group, that is too cool. We sometimes have upwards of 60 or 70 people in the audience, which is about what the studio can hold. That really makes it fun. We do a lot of things. It's a segmented show. It's a one-hour show on EWTN. Your face will be on EWTN. If you don't want to come for the program, come for your own stardom. Stick your face up there so you can say to people, look, there I am. I asked a question. Look at that. Oh, he didn't take my question. What a jerk. So, go to drray.com or my Facebook page. It'll tell you who to contact, either by email or phone, and you can set that up. All right. Let's see where we're at here. Oh, boy, I've been getting more and more of these. More and more and more of these. They are coming out of everywhere, and I can't believe it is simply just the comfort of people being willing to, quote-unquote, come out, I think there is also a major social peer group factor in here. Tom from North Dakota. Hi, Tom. Hello, Tom. We probably got a situation here. All right. Well, let's do this. Let's go to Kathleen from Minnesota. Kathleen, are you there?
Hello?
There you
yes,
go.
I am.
All right. So you had a daughter working nights, and her sleeping schedule got disrupted, and there was anxiety.
Yeah. I was just going to affirm that other caller, that mama that called in. First of all, your program's excellent. It's so wonderful to have people get reassurance so they don't have the anxiety. And there's a lot of people living in isolation that need this, with just a beautiful thing you have that have the call in like this. But what I was going to share with that mama that called in was that I have a daughter who is a nurse, and she was on night shifts and ended up having a lot of anxiety due to her sleep cycle getting really messed up, and that sleep deprivation can really create and cause some physical symptoms. She went on regular day schedules now, and she's fine. So sometimes
You point out two things, Kathleen. Yes,
right.
Any kind of physical disruption can create a state where the body is unsettled, and
right.
The body can react. My daughter's a nurse, too, and she has sleep cycles that drift like that, too. That can happen. However, what happened with this mom is, first of all, the girl quit the job very quickly. Okay, she didn't sound like your daughter who persevered. She quit it very quickly. Secondly, first thing mom said is she had to come home from college because she was anxious and stressed out and had anxiety attacks at college. Which led me to think that more likely it was something in this young lady's temperamental reaction to demanding stressful situations as she saw them that led to that. But you are absolutely correct. That kind of any if you looked at the list of things that can cause anxiety, it's a mile long. It is medication. It can be sleep deprivation. That's a big one. Sleep deprivation is a big one. It can be low-level obsessions where you just kind of think about something that's bothering you, and it doesn't really throw you over the edge until one day you have a panic attack and you didn't realize you were doing this to your body. So given that, you're absolutely correct. At that level, I don't think that was what it was with mom, but if she's listening, hey, something to consider. Kathleen,
yeah.
I don't care what the other callers say about you. I think you're a nice person.
Well, thank you. I just sometimes when mom, then the boogeyman get in our head as far as, gee, did someone hurt her at night and she wanted to quit quickly and I don't know about that, and it snowballs. And so sometimes, like in the case of my daughter where she didn't quit and she persevered, I'm not sure it was wise to persevere because it really triggered a little bit further than what it needed to. And maybe just stopping and understanding our bodies is also a good thing. Maybe her daughter was healthy and reading her body that way, you know, and that college all-night stuff, maybe that was part of the sleep deprivation as well that triggered back in when she went to the job. So sometimes I understand what you're saying, and I would take your wisdom over my own, but from a mama standpoint, we do jump from A to Z sometimes, and really maybe it's just working itself out just so that mama knows and can relax just a little bit.
Well, you bring up a good point, because the caller that we had prior to you, I put her on my list of look-back calls because I did want to address a phenomenon that is occurring in our culture, and I see it as a psychologist. We are less and less and less able to tolerate situations that are unpleasant and that demand of us and that put us in situations that we're not really comfortable. I think a case can be made that the younger generation is, and if you look at a lot of the articles coming out, the younger generation is less able to deal with situations that maybe in the past, for other folks, they weathered. So, good point. We'll talk about that. Kathleen, thank you so much.
Thank you, dear.
I'll talk to you. Bye.
Bye.
Well, I don't know if I should go there. Okay, yeah, but if I go there, I'm going to bump up against the break. Well, let me... That's 2 minutes. Hey, Andrew, I don't waste 2 minutes. You're saying that my talking is wasting time. That hurts. All right, so as to not waste 2 minutes, let me pick up Tom here from North Dakota, who is back. His adult son wants to transition to his adult daughter. Hi, Tom.
Hello, Dr. Ray.
How old's your son?
24 years old.
Mm. Did you have same-sex attraction in his past?
You know, he never said so. I suspected he did as he was growing up, but it was nothing he ever said, and it was, 2.5 years ago now when he asked the whole family to get together because he wanted to tell us something, and I thought he was going to say he was gay, and he said, no, I want to be a girl. And it instantly tore up the family. My daughter wants to support him in this, and my wife doesn't know which way to go on this, and two of my sons don't want to support him on it, and I am on that side. I'm the only one whose reasoning is based on religious reasons. I am a very authentic Catholic, but I have been so for only about 5 years. And so I have changed a lot, and that is another card that's, you know, loose in this whole situation.
Okay, stay there, Tom. Don't go away like you did last time. And I'll be back after the break. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi. The number, 877-57-EQUAL, is the number to get onto the program. If you would like to jaw, if you're a guy, to share, if you're a woman.
The mystery of death has troubled and fascinated humanity since the beginning of time. Our own experiences of mourning deceased family members and friends teach us the deep longing of the human heart for hope in the face of death. Many Catholics have lost a clear sense of how to face this experience with faith and peace. Planning funeral services in advance is not only a gift to our family and friends, but it is an affirmative way to embrace our own call to resurrection. Please take this time to call your local parish or diocese about pre-planning your cemetery and funeral rites. This message brought to you by Catholic Management Services.
The Doctor Is In is brought to you in part by the Ave Maria Mutual Funds, investment funds that are designed and screened to be pro-life and pro-family. 6 different Ave Maria mutual funds are available to help you reach your long-term investment objectives, smart investing, and Catholic values. The number to learn more about the Ave Maria mutual funds is 866-AVE-MARIA. That's 866-283-6274 or at AveMariaFunds.com.
Severe drought is creating a crisis of malnutrition for more than 20 million people in Africa. Join Cross Catholic Outreach to help feed these suffering children and families. Your support equips African priests, nuns, and Catholic ministries with the life-saving resources they need to serve the poor. Call 866-765-4280 or visit crosscatholic.org/AfricaFamine to make your tax-deductible gift today.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
The Catholic solution to the healthcare problem is here. Are you fed up with the current healthcare system, paying too much for your healthcare cost? Solidarity HealthShare is a healthcare sharing ministry which provides an ethical way to fund healthcare costs while protecting and practicing our Catholic beliefs. Best yet, Solidarity HealthShare's members are exempt from the fines and penalties in the Affordable Care Act. Visit SolidarityHealthShare.org to join like-minded Catholics in sharing medical expenses.
Thank you. Thank you for empowering me. I needed that.
Who is she talking to? Andrew, where'd you get that from? What show? I like when that happens because we're on the lookout. We kind of scour Catholic radio programs for those kinds of compliments. And as long as they don't mention a name, they may say, thank you, Father Larry, for helping me on that, or thank you, Father Mitch, or thank you, Teresa Tomio, or thank you, Al Cresta, thank you, Greg Popchak. As long as they don't mention a name, I have instructed Andrew to go get those and then drop them into this program and make it sound like they are talking to me. Thank you, Andrew. I appreciate that. And sometimes you might have to expunge the actual name from them. I wish we had some that occurred on this program, but about every 4 or 5 years we get one. And Andrew usually lets a slip by because he's on the phone. Tom is calling from North Dakota. Tom's situation is this. His 24-year-old adult son about 2.5 years ago got the family together and said, I want to become a woman. The daughter is very supportive of this. The mom is torn. The two sons are saying, we're not supportive of this. Tom, who has come back to his faith much more seriously, I shouldn't use the word seriously, he has embraced his faith much more diligently the last 5 years, is not supportive of this. He said, this is tearing the family apart. I asked Tom, were there indications of same-sex attraction in this young man's growing up history? He said, I suspected so, but it never was obvious or spoken about by my son. You there, Tom?
I am.
Okay. I'll tell you what I'm seeing a fair amount of. And by the way, just since you were on the air here in between the break, I checked my email for ePersons. And another one, 27-year-old. The mom said, my 27-year-old son now wants to become a woman, but only on the weekends. Okay. This stuff is coming out of everywhere. I'm seeing some folks who have same-sex attraction taking the next step and saying, therefore, because I am attracted to the same sex, I must gender-wise be the opposite sex. I'm attracted to males, therefore, maybe I'm not really a male. Maybe there's a mistake here, and I need to take the next step and embrace being a female. I would ask your son about that. I would say, do you think, son, I just want to know, do you think that any of this is due to the fact that if you've had same-sex attraction for years and you've not spoken about it, that somehow you must gender-wise be a female? Now, regarding, quote-unquote, your word supportive, what does that mean? When you say supportive of it, how would that manifest itself?
So my daughter was, you know, supportive in that, oh, good, I'm glad you've said this. I'm going to support you, and as you become a girl, I'll call you by your new girl name, your female name, and that's the take she took on it. Whereas I said I cannot or you know will not as a Christian support any of this. I cannot support you even taking the drugs that start to make you not have facial hair, and I can't, definitely will not support you in any of the operations or thus.
He's gone all out. He's getting gender reassignment surgery.
That's what he wishes to do. Mm-hmm. That is what he wishes to do. And when he had the meeting with us where he told everyone this, that's when he wanted to start taking the drugs, the estrogen, I guess. I'm not sure exactly what the drugs are, but yeah, he wanted to start taking the drugs and have something to where his facial hair, I think it's some type of surgery where he quits having facial hair. Yeah, and now to add to this, I have been in North Dakota. I have a home in New Mexico where I raise my children, and I raise them as a less authentic Christian and Catholic. And he's been down there going to college while I've been up here, and I am moving back.
Wait a minute. You say I've been up here. Where's your wife?
Oh, she's in North Dakota with me. Oh,
okay. Got it.
For 1 year when I first moved up here, and it was for financial reasons, I got a job up here that paid well. And she had run a daycare down there and was not able to shut it that quickly. So for 1 year we were apart. She was down there and I was up here. But then she's moved up. But my son goes to college down there, and he's been in the house with others of my children at different times. So it hasn't been just he in the house.
How does that?
But I'm moving back.
How does that complicate the situation?
That complicates the situation because my initial reaction was to kind of
get out of my house,
ignore, and not. I'm saying I'm not going to support you, and that I would not go ahead and pay for any surgeries or any drugs. Now I'm moving back, and support could very easily turn into whether or not I allow you to stay in the house. And I just see that really, if I'm to go down that path, really tearing up the family. And that is where I'm really torn right now, is what do I do when I move back and we are in the same household?
Well, first of all, you have every right as a parent to say, I'm not going to pay for gender reassignment surgery. There is a man, Dr. Paul McHugh, I think is his name. I hope I got that right. He was chief of psychiatry at Johns Hopkins. Johns Hopkins pioneered sex reassignment surgery, and they stopped it because they found that the aftermath was even worse. Suicide rates were high, much higher than to be expected. There were heavier psychiatric diagnoses. He basically said, we're not doing anybody any favors by doing this. This is really adding to their life complications. Now, I don't know if Johns Hopkins has begun again to do sex reassignment surgery. However, you need to look up the information on sex reassignment surgery and look into some of these studies, these surveys, these follow-ups on what the folks have experienced afterwards. The theory is we'll all just be happy because now my gender identity is in line with my sexual identity, and that's good. I'm comfortable now. I'm not in a state of chronic psychological tension, disequilibrium, and it hasn't borne out. So look that up. Regarding your son, you got no choice but to love him. You got no choice but to say in so many words, son, I don't think this is good for you. I think this is going to ultimately hurt you, so I can't celebrate it. However, I still love you. You're my son. I have no intention of shunning you or throwing you out of my life. Now, whether you want to pay for his living there as he decides to pursue sex reassignment surgery, that's up to you as a dad. All right? Recognizing that... The problem is, if you don't go along, quote unquote, with your daughter and perhaps your wife, the pressure, you'll be the bad guy. You will be the one that they look at as judgmental, as narrow, as bigoted, intolerant, horrible person. Horrible. Okay? And I think if you stick to your belief, which says, I don't think this is good for him. I can acknowledge he may have same-sex attraction. Okay, I got that. But to go this extra step and to actually take these kinds of radical surgical moves, I don't think this is good for him. And furthermore, there's research to back me up on this. So you're asking me to celebrate something that I believe could hurt my son. Now, if he says, well, Dad, I don't care. I'm doing it anyway. I'm doing it anyway, and you'll just have to live with it. Do your very best, Tom, to convince your family that you're not writing him off. You don't hate him. You will continue to pray for him. You will be his dad. But this is not something you can celebrate. You're allowed to do that, despite what the peer pressure all around you says. My friend, I'm seeing so much more of this. So much more of this. And it I don't believe it can be explained simply by saying, with shifting societal attitudes, more and more people are becoming open with these feelings and these gender disequilibrium problems. I think there is also a social component to it. Not for everybody, but it has to be taken into account.
The Wine Palace in Livonia is a proud sponsor of Ave Maria Radio. The Wine Palace is a family-owned business for over 60 years where customers come in for great service. The 9,000-square-foot store includes a humidor, specialty wine room, deli, and a rare and collectible spirits room. We have the largest selection of spirits in the state at the most competitive prices. Ask for one of the brothers, Cliff or Kelly, and thank them for their strong support of Catholic Radio. Delivery is available. Please visit the Wine Palace at I-96 in Middledale or at winepalace.net.
We are truly blessed with living in a free country, experiencing great spring weather, and having great friends. Hi, I'm Dan Hall from Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, and we're also blessed to offer great low lease payments on all Ram, Jeep, and Dodge products during our Drive and Discover event going on now. For example, you can drive a new Ram pickup, Dodge Journey, or Durango for as low as $229 per month, or a Jeep Patriot, Compass, or the all-new Jeep Renegade for only $199 per month. Only at Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, or visit us online at PinckneyChrysler.com.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
The Catholic solution to the healthcare problem is here. Are you fed up with the current healthcare system, paying too much for your healthcare cost? Solidarity HealthShare is a healthcare sharing ministry which provides an ethical way to fund healthcare costs while protecting and practicing our Catholic beliefs. Best yet, Solidarity HealthShare's members are exempt from the fines and penalties in the Affordable Care Act. Visit SolidarityHealthShare.org to join like-minded Catholics in sharing medical expenses.
You remember the day you first laid eyes on her. They handed you the keys and you drove back home for everyone to admire. And although the memories have been made, it's time to pass the torch to someone else. Consider donating your vehicle to Ave Maria Radio. Even if it's not running, we'll take care of everything from pickup to your tax receipt. Just call 866-628-CARS to show you just how easy it is to donate. That's 866-628-CARS. And mention Ave Maria Radio.
I don't feel like doing that. I feel like she should bring me coffee in bed. You can't argue with my feelings. That's right. My feelings are my own. They're genuine. Who are you to tell me that what I feel isn't realistic or good? That's right. That's what our culture says. What a way to think. It isn't thinking. Shanna from Portland, Oregon. Shanna, okay, from Portland, Oregon. KBVM. Shanna, can I be sure that you're telling me the truth here?
Well, I am.
Man, I don't know. How do I know? How old are your girls, dear?
One is turning 9, and the other one is turning 16.
Go!
And they both, okay, so lying started out when they were younger, you know, to get out of things they didn't want to do, or, oh, I forgot to clean my room, or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And it has just progressed. You know, back then we were like, okay, well, if you tell the truth, we won't come down as hard on you, to just get them used to being honest and knowing that we could accept honesty as parents. And but my husband, now that they're older, I think he still sees them as being little girls, and so he doesn't believe that they're lying until something catastrophic happens. And there's been a few catastrophic things that have happened, and yet we're still in the cycle of lying and me knowing that they're lying and their dad not wanting to believe that they're lying, and I just really need this to stop.
Yeah, you better go at their dad. As long as he's right. Giving off messages that girls, I kind of can go with this. I think your mother's overreacting. I think your mother's kind of got this bug about lying, and I realize you're just being kids. Is he that way with all discipline?
Yeah, pretty much.
How do I know these things? Sometimes I surprise even myself.
I know, right? You're amazing.
Thank you. I appreciate that. If you know they're lying, can you do something about it, or does he stop you?
Well, he tells me that I'm being too hard on them if I try to, you know, like, handle it on my own. And he'll be like, oh, no, you know, she didn't mean to not bring home her homework. And I'm like, well, it's happened 5 days in a row, though. At some point, we have to say there's a problem here.
Is your 16-year-old getting pretty ugly by now?
Yeah, and that one got really bad. We don't allow them to have Facebook or smartphones or anything like that. And she ended up actually getting a phone from a friend and hiding it and getting herself into a world of trouble.
What did your husband think then?
Well, he was floored. Like, oh, my gosh.
Oh, no. How could she be deceptive? Oh, my.
Yes. And the youngest is following right in her footsteps, but while the older one is more passive of a child, the younger one is more aggressive. So if we've had these kind of problems with the 16-year-old, who is more passive and not really a leader, I'm a little concerned about what's going to happen with the youngest.
Well, you should be. Boy, your problem is parenting with your husband. That's your problem, I think. The lying, I got about 20 seconds here, Shanna. You call back. But the lying, you're going to have to handle yourself because he won't. But the bigger matter in this context is that he is on a different discipline plane than you are. The lying is just the stuff that bothers you the most. But it really sounds like there's a whole bunch of other stuff here that he just kind of slides. And he thinks that you're the warden. Shanna, call me back, honey. I'll give you more advice on that. This is Dr. Ray. I got to run. Thanks for joining me. Remember, sign up for the TV show. Love to have you. DrRay.com in the audience. A couple more weeks and that's it. No more pleading.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DrRay.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
Hi, this is Father John Ricardo, inviting you to join me as we explore some of the deepest questions that arise in our hearts. Questions that shape the way we think, the way we speak, and the way we live. For all of these questions, Christ is the answer.
On our next Christ is the Answer program, Father John Ricardo wrestles with the question, can we trust the biblical vision of marriage? He looks at marriage, personal relationships, love, prayer, scripture, our personal wills, and what our Lord wants for us and our families. Listen to Christ is the Answer, Wednesday evenings at 8, Saturday afternoons at 5, and Sunday mornings at 11 on Ave Maria Radio and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the image of the invisible God. He points us to our destiny. He reveals the dignity of the human person. He is the one who makes known the Father. Christ is the Answer.
Christ is the Answer is brought to you by the Ave Maria Communications Guild.
Can a church made up of sinners still be holy? St. Teresa, the Little Flower, says this about the Catholic Church. If the church was a body composed of different members, it could not lack the noblest of all. It must have a heart, and a heart burning with love. And I realized that this love alone was the true motive force which